My name is Alan Morse. I'm from Perry, Kansas. I come to you to visit with you about a subject that I think is very dear to me, and it's called Why Paul? Why Paul? I'd like for you to all get a pencil and paper out and get your Bibles and be ready to go through this. This is really, it's really interesting. I think you'll really enjoy it. We're going to talk about why Paul? Jesus, as God, knew in time past that Saul of Tarsus would be the person who would be a chosen vessel unto God to bear his name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. This is in Acts 9:15. In Galatians 1:15, it says, "But when it pleased God, who separated Saul from his mother's womb and called Saul, by his grace, to reveal his son, that he might preach Christ among the Gentiles." Saul would seem to be, to the average person, to be the last person that could be used of God. Why? Because he was responsible for maybe hundreds of Jews who believed that Jesus was the Messiah to be jailed and killed. But, by the grace of God, God saved him to preach the gospel throughout the known world, showing the power of God was able to save the worst of the worst, giving hope to all, no matter who they are, no matter how deep in sin they are in. Jesus' death on the cross paid all sins for all people, for those who believe the gospel of their salvation. Why Paul? The turning point from Jesus' earthly ministry to the body of Christ was Saul's feet hit the ground at the wall of Damascus after he was lowered down the wall in a basket in the middle of the night, Acts 9:25. Saul could have gone to Jerusalem to join the 12 disciples because he now was a believer that Jesus was the Messiah. But the Holy Spirit sent him opposite direction to Arabia, in Galatians 1:17. So if Jesus wanted the church to be saved by his earthly ministry, he would have sent Paul to work with the 12 disciples, and they would preach the whole world salvation by believing in Jesus. But he didn't. Saul went to Arabia, where he was taught by Jesus a whole new belief system, totally separated from Judaism. The new system was based on believing the gospel for our salvation. Now let's just turn to that. We've been at many a time, but we can't do it too many. Let's turn to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Everybody have it now. It's important. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Write this down in your scriptures. This is the most important. This is the most important verse in the Bible for the church today. For anybody, as far as that's concerned. It says, "Moreover, brethren." Now, Paul is talking to the Corinthians. He's writing this letter. They're not books. They're letters. And he's writing to this letter to Corinthians who have already believed the gospel. And it's very apparent in this. It says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and by in which you stand, by which also you are saved." If we're looking for salvation, this is the verse you want to look at. If you're wanting to know for sure that when you die, you're going to go to heaven, this is the verse that you want to know. It says, "by which also you are saved." It says, if there's an if there. It says, "if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain." You see, it's tremendously important. This isn't a head knowledge. This is a heart knowledge. And that you truly believe the gospel. And when you do that, you will be saved. And God knows your heart. And as soon as you believe it, you will be saved. And this is the gospel. It says, "For I delivered unto you first of all, that which also I received." Well, I got to move a different chapter. Let's go. Keep your hand in 15. I got to show you Galatians chapter 1. This is what Paul had received. 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, and in Galatians. Galatians to the right. Galatians chapter 1, verse 11. This is the gospel that he received. He says, "But I make known unto you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, nor neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." This was Jesus' idea 100%. And this wasn't something that he made up. He got it directly from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now this is the gospel, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to Scriptures. You believe that for your salvation, you will be saved. You will be saved. The new system that was called to him was the body of Christ. This is the whole new system that was going to be brought about by Paul. The body of Christ is salvation based on believing Christ, what Christ did for us, not because the body of Christ's salvation is based on believing what Christ did for us, not on him, because what he did is what saved us, not who he is. You see, Jesus is God and always will be God. But if he didn't die for our sins, we would all be dead in our sins, totally separated from God. So we're not believing in Jesus by who he is or by his name. We're believing that he died for our sins, because those sins are what have separated us from God. And being that he died for them, that's taken care of. The sin debt is taken care of by Christ Jesus. He's the only one that could do it, because he was the only perfect person that walked on this earth, and he was a perfect sacrifice. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians. We're just at first now. We're just going over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we're going to start on verse 14. Now, you're going to make sure you write these down. This is pretty tough, but boy, it tells us exactly the way it is, and you'll understand it, I'm sure. It said, verse 14, it says, "The love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then all are dead." Think about that. Jesus died for our sins. But when he died for our sins, when he died, everybody from Adam all the way up to Jesus were dead. We said, "What do you mean by that, Al?" Well, you see, Adam and also Noah, and we go to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and to the kings, David and Solomon, and many others, and all the prophets, Ezekiel, Daniel, and Jeremiah, Isaiah, all of these people were declared righteous because they believed God. But you see, they weren't saved. They weren't saved because, you see, the sin debt hadn't been taken place. When they died, their bodies went into the ground, and there was a soul and spirit. They went to paradise. Now, paradise isn't hell by no means, but it isn't heaven either. And so we see that when he died, all were dead. That we know that when Christ died, his body went to the grave. And in Ephesians chapter 4 states that his soul and spirit first went to heaven, and then it descended down into paradise, where he preached to all those Old Testament saints and told them now that they can, that he had died on the cross and he had paid the sin. He was a final sin debt. He paid the final sin debt for everybody on this earth. And now they can go directly to heaven, and he took them to heaven. Today, when a person dies, their body will go into the ground, but their soul and spirit now, if they believe the gospel, will go directly to be with the Lord in heaven. And then it says on 15, it says, and that he died for all, that they who live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him who died for them and rose again. That's the gospel, you see. Once we believe the gospel, we're not living for ourselves anymore. We're living for God. Henceforth, wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, we know him no more. What it's saying is that Christ died on that cross. But now, we don't know him in the flesh anymore. He's died. And we don't put our trust in Jesus for our salvation. We don't put our trust in his name. We put our trust in what he did. And that's why we know him no more, because of the fact what we know now is what he did for us. And then our salvation is based on what he did, not who he is. And that's why the world has turned this totally around and said our salvation is based on believing that Jesus is our Savior. But that isn't salvation. We don't put our trust in him for our salvation. We put our trust in what he did, because what he did was pay for our sin debt so that we could be saved. And then it goes on in verse 17, it says, therefore, because we believe in the gospel, if any man be in Christ, if he believes the gospel, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. What do you mean by passed away? I mean it's dead. We're saying that our old body, our old sin nature, is dead. It's passed away. And he says, and behold, all things become new. In Romans verses chapter 6, write it down, 6 and then verse 6, it says that when Christ died on that cross, we reckon that our old sin nature died on that cross. When he was buried, we reckon our old sin nature was buried. And then when he rose, we rose with him and a total new person, because those things, the Holy Spirit then fills us as soon as we believe the gospel, and it lives with us, and it points us to Jesus and gives us the power to overcome this old sin nature, which we reckon dead. And this is just beyond my imagination, but I've seen it work in my life. It's just wonderful what God has done for us. We go on and says, why Paul? Because Paul believed God. And Paul was made the apostle of the body of Christ. And the body of Christ was salvation to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. Because only members of the body of Christ will have everlasting life with God. And only believers of the gospel will be members of the body of Christ. People ask me what church you belong to. Well, I don't belong to any certain church, but I do belong to the God, to the body of Christ. And to be right honest with you, I have a hard time finding a church today that believes the gospel. I've gone through many, many things that's just hard to believe. I went to a church called the Gospel Church. I thought this should be the place to go. And I asked for the head man in that church, and he came over and he visited with me. And I said, this is the gospel church? And he said, yes, it is. And I said, do you believe the gospel that Jesus died for your sins? And he was buried and he rose from the dead for your salvation? He said, no, we do not. We believe in Jesus as our Savior. And we don't allow the gospel to be taught here, even spoke of, even thought of. We don't want anything to do with the gospel in this church. And I walked away. Was I mad at him? No. He's been totally, totally deceived. And I was the same way for many years, because I never believed the gospel for my salvation for many, many years. But I do now, and as soon as I did, I was filled with the Holy Spirit. Why Paul? Because God knew Paul would never quit preaching the gospel, no matter what. No matter what. You're in 2 Corinthians, just go right on over to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. This is just, it blows my mind how Paul, what he went through to preach the gospel. We're going to start on 24. Just to save time. Verse 24. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24. Of the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes, less one. You see, Christ was beaten with 39 stripes, and we see how it just almost killed him. And a lesser person it would have. But you see, he couldn't die by being beaten. He had to be on that cross to shed his blood for us. He had to do that to pay our sins. He was a blood sacrifice for everybody, and he had to go to the cross. But it was horrible what he went through. Paul went through this five times. Five times. And when they got done beating him, they'd throw him in a dungeon. And it was just like throwing him in a cesspool. They didn't have bathrooms there. The place was just solid urine and feces, because there was no place to put for it to go. And they also, it was full of mice and rats and all kinds of vermin. And how he come out of those dungeons without getting blood poisoning when he's beat half to death, his back like hamburger. It took a miracle. But it did. And God took him out of that place. To do what? To preach the gospel. To preach the gospel. Three times he was beaten with rods. The people say that rods is almost as bad as being beat with the cat of nine tails. That it literally knocks the wind clear out of you till where you can't even breathe. And many people suffocate because of the horrible beating they got. But many of their ribs are busted. You know, I've had some cracked, and the painful is awful. But can't imagine I have a whole bunch of them broken. And also vertebrae in their back, and it's killed many people. Where it actually literally broke their back. I mean, it's an awful thing to go through. But Paul went through it three times. And then it goes, and then, of course, I very likely threw him in prison also there. Also. But God took him up. Got him out of there, and he continued to preach the gospel. He said, I was stoned. At Lystra, he was stoned. I mean, when the Jews stone you, you're dead. Nobody lives through a stoning from the Jews. They were unmerciful. They totally just broke every bone in your body. They crushed your skull. They crushed your cheekbones, your nose, and your jawbones with those huge rocks that they'd throw down on top of you. They broke your arms, they broke your ribs, they broke your legs. They said that when they got done, there was all the wolves, it was just a pile of blood and broken bones. And they dragged him out of the side of the town, and no doubt he was dead. No one can live through that. But God raised him up, and he walked away. To do what? To preach the gospel. To preach the gospel. He said, I suffered shipwreck at night and day. I have been in the deep, in journeys, often in perils, of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, and in perils of the wilderness, in perils of the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watching often, in hunger and thirst, and fasting and cold and nakedness. And besides all these things that were without, which cometh upon me daily, was the care of the churches. I mean, his love for those people was beyond anybody's imagination. And that he approached and he opened when he established these churches. And every one of these churches, from Romans through Romans and Corinthians and Galatians and Ephesians and Philippians and Thessalonians, all these churches were grounded in the gospel. Because that's what Jesus gave it to him for our salvation of this body of Christ that we belong to. That's what we belong to, and we're baptized into that, not by water. This is spiritual baptism. There's no water baptism in Paul's Gospels. It's all, every time you believe in the Lord, believe in this gospel, you are filled with the Holy Spirit. You're baptized in the Holy Spirit. And so when they get done, when Paul says, and then they all believed the gospel and then they were baptized, that's all right. It wasn't water baptism. It was 10,000 times better. It was the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which gave them power to live the life that Paul would want us to live, and preach to us to live, the life that would glorify God. It was all done because of Paul's integrity, and he just was a tremendous person to go through this. And then we find that in his latter life, he was spent a tremendous time in jail. In his latter life, he was in Roman, and he was chained to a Roman soldier. I really believe the Roman soldier was chained to him, because there wasn't a Roman soldier left there that didn't believe the gospel, I'll bet you. Not one. You couldn't be chained to him for 12 hours a day and not you know the gospel when you left. And it said that other authors, not in the Bible, but other authors said that these Roman soldiers actually spread the gospel all over the Roman Empire as they did their duty. And also said that in the scriptures it says that even the household of Caesar, there were believers there. So it was just beyond your imagination what Paul did, no matter where he was at. And the only way that they could shut up Paul from preaching the gospel was to cut his head off. And I looked to my pastor one day, not too long ago, and I said, you know, I've been under you for almost 30 years, and that I never heard you preach the gospel for my salvation, not once. And he just gave me a dirty look, you know, like I was some kind of a nut. I've been supporting him tremendously for almost 30 years, and he never preached the gospel. And I preached it to him, and he wouldn't believe me. He wouldn't believe me. And it just broke my heart. But I wasn't mad at him. Wasn't mad at him at all, because the reason why that he didn't believe is the reason why I didn't for many years, because I was always taught to put my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for my salvation, not the gospel. And I was blinded. Totally blinded. When I heard the gospel being preached by a man by the name of Les Feldick, I just couldn't believe how I could have missed that. I couldn't believe it. And I opened up my Bible. And I opened it to 1 Corinthians 15, and you know, there wasn't a mark in that. Not a mark in there. And I'm a marker. I write, I star, I underline. I write in the columns on the side of the Bible. But there wasn't one mark in there. I thought the gospel was the Word of God. Now let's see what one of the biggest reasons why people don't know the gospel. You're in 2 Corinthians 11. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians back to the left to verse chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3. Make sure you write this down. This is one of the most important verses that you'll ever know. It says, "But if our gospel be hidden, it is hidden to them that are lost." Obviously, those who don't believe the gospel, they're lost. "In whom the God of this age," who is the God of this age? Satan. "The God of this age hath blinded the minds of them who believe not." Those who don't believe the gospel. These are the people that believe in Jesus as the Savior. They're blinded. I was blinded all my life, and I'm an old man. "Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them." Can you imagine that? I just couldn't believe it. Satan. And I never realized the power of Satan and what he has done. You see, he already had all the world. There's billions of people out there. They don't care anything about God in any way, shape, or form. He's not concerned about the drunkard, and he's not concerned about the dopey. He's not concerned about the murderer and about... He's already got them. He was concerned about the church. The church. And if he could keep people from believing the gospel for their salvation, he'd win. And guess what? He's winning. When you find out all the major denominations of this world and everyone else, they all have turned their back on the gospel for salvation. Oh, yeah, they believe that Jesus died on the cross, and they believe that he was buried and he rose again. They hear that every Easter, but not for their salvation. You see, I believed all those things. There was no way that I didn't believe that, but I didn't believe it for my salvation. I didn't believe it for my salvation. I believed as I was taught my whole life. I believed that Christ was my Savior for my salvation. And I was totally wrong. You don't find that in Paul's writings. And he was the person who wrote to us. He was a person that God appointed to be the writer for us and to lead us to God. Now let's look at probably, there's a lot of things we could go to. There's a lot of things that we could go to, but probably a verse, we don't have the time. I'd like to, we'll go back to Romans. Let's go back to Romans, to the left. Go back to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And I'd like for you to look at verses 16. And here again, this verse here you ought to memorize. This is just phenomenal. It says, Romans chapter 1, verses 16. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes." You see what it means, what it's saying? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. This is death, burial, and resurrection, we believe. For it is the power of God unto salvation. Isn't that what we're looking for? Salvation? That's the gospel to everyone that believes. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And also to the Greek. You ought to memorize this, and you'll never look at the gospel any other way. You can find, you go through these now through Paul's epistles. Now, when you learn this gospel, you see it everywhere. It's just everywhere. But you see, it's not as if we were there at the first meeting with Paul and the Romans when he taught them the gospel. He's just kind of come here and there, because these words that he writes, they're already saved. They're already saved. They already know the gospel. But here and there, he puts it in so that he reinforces their belief. And that's what it is for us. to reinforce our belief that we're not ashamed of the gospel. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, you just go back to the right again to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 17. He said, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. What he's saying is, you don't add anything to the gospel. When Jesus said it was finished, it was finished. You don't add baptism to it. You don't add church membership to it. You don't add anything that you can do to the gospel. Or you don't take anything away from it. I have people say, well, I believe in Jesus my Savior, and I believe He died for my sins. Is that the gospel? No, it's not. It's close. But you see, Jesus is very specific about this, and He has a right to, because He is the one who died for our sins. He is the one that died for our sins. He has a right to tell us what we should believe, and that is to believe the gospel. Let's pray. Dear Father, I pray that You open the mind of every person that had listened to me today, that they would truly understand the gospel, and they would believe it in their heart. And then You could fill them with the Holy Spirit, and they would spend the rest of their life serving You and walking with You and allowing You to guide and direct them their whole life. I pray You'll watch over each and every one and draw them all closer to You each and every day. I pray this all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.